Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu.
Hey everyone, welcome to Strike a Chord. We are so grateful to have the amazing Ximena Abarca here, very multi-talented, a musician and many other facets in her life and beautiful friend. Welcome.
Thank you. Ximena. Hey, how are you?
Very good, very good. Yeah, great to have you on.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here.
Our pleasure. Why music?
Let's go straight to the point. Why music? Why not? Why not? Why
good,
not
good
music?
Answer. Why not?
I think it's just like if you follow the flow, if you just let yourself go, it takes you. The music takes you. It's embrace you, I guess. And I felt that since I was little. Mm. Yeah, my mom used to sing. And then we all used to sing. I grew up with my mom and my sisters, and yeah, it was.
And being
just,
from Chile, it's a common thing. Really, to listen to music.
To listen to music, yes, so. Yeah. Everything is very musical. I didn't grow up. My family weren't like my mom sang, but she was a nurse. Mm. But she always wanted to be a singer, and her grandma she didn't let her. She's like, no, that's not a proper job.
Yeah, back in the day, it was frowned upon. You're not going to be a singer in the taverns or in the...
Yeah. Yes, you know. Exactly. She used to say, that's what bataclanas do. I don't know if you know the word bataclana. So my mom couldn't do it. And when I came out after high school, because I poor mom, I told her I wanted to be a doctor throughout my, I don't know, from 7 to 14.
That was to satisfy.
I don't know. I just wanted, because she was a nurse and she was like, no, you're not going to be a nurse. You need to be a doctor. It's like, okay, I'll be a doctor. And I like putting injections in dolls and things like that. And then it's like, mom, you know, actually, I want to be a singer. And she's like, yeah, go for it.
Oh, like, wow.
Yeah, it was very, very easy. I didn't have to convince her. She was like, yeah, you're going to follow the dream that I couldn't. So,
Just relax.
Yeah, sure.
That's all about relaxing.
Yeah. So, that's how it started professionally. Okay. Because before I used to sing just for fun and not very stressful.
We all do music for fun when we're young or whatever. You know, if we think of it as something that, oh yeah, it's good. It makes us feel good.
Yeah.
And then then it becomes a profession. And then all the stress comes along with it.
Because tell me about it.
Relying on this.
Expectations. Yeah. Well, other people mainly. Yeah. And then we throw our own on us as well.
Correct. Yeah. Because you're out, especially if you're out there performing.
Yeah.
You know, you're out there, you're performing and you're getting that thing back from the people instantaneously.
Yeah.
They're either going to clap or they're going to do something or they're going to walk out or they're going to
throw a tomato at you.
Or a beer bottle.
Or just ignore you.
Or just ignore you. That's even worse.
Yeah, that's the worst. Yeah.
I'd rather than throw a beer bottle at me.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But ignoring or like, especially if you're playing like in bars.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sometimes can be a little bit tough.
I think it depends on what sort of gig you're doing. If you're if the expectation is that, you know, they're hiring you to sit in the corner and play music, I think that's the expectation and you accept it and you play. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
If you're playing up on stage and, you know, people are listening to you and then you see people just walk out or ignoring, I think that's a different expectation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm performing now. I'm not just playing, I'm performing and that's happening. And then your ego gets a bit hammered and
it's true.
And you get anxiety and then you get
nervous. You know, especially when you are playing your own music, because I used to play covers back in Chile quite a lot, and you are an entertainer and you're just there to do that.
Yeah.
No more than that. Yeah, and people expect you to do that. But when you are sharing a piece of your soul in the stage and they don't care or they don't find it entertaining, because sometimes music is not to do, it's not the main goal to do that.
Mm.
And that's painful. Yeah. Very painful. Mm.
But I think sometimes the people who are unaware of the type of music they're doing will probably see that, because look, not everyone's gonna like every music and everything that everyone does, but I think you then you start to get your following, and the people who come who know what to expect, they're the ones who are going to stick around.
Yeah.
And then that's how you filter out those the people that you're that you want to perform for.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's true.
But on top of music, you're an actor as well. You've done a fair bit of stuff.
Yeah, I can fake a lot of things.
Are you acting now?
So every day a little bit.
So you in Chile, you were an actor. You were
I work acting for a little bit. My sister is an actress.
Okay.
So I guess, yeah, I just when I was in high school too, I was doing things. But yeah, when the opportunity, she invited me once. They were doing a play when I was in my 20s, and she invited me to act in theater.
Okay.
And my teacher at that point was, we had the same teacher, and he was the director, an actor too. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I introduced myself into the acting thing in theater first. And then the opportunity arose to act in TV, and then I took it. And it felt very natural. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. I really liked it. But I'm not a trained actress. I just did it by instinct.
A lot of the best actors at the moment, look, I don't know a huge amount about acting, but they're the ones that are not trained at all. It's just the feeling. I mean, there's some brilliant actors who are trained, but I feel like some of the best are the ones that have got this natural ability. Yeah.
But sometimes it's like that in music too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It applies across all.
It's an art form, right?
It's an art form.
It's an art form.
Yeah.
The art form. Look, the way I see it, yes, talent plays a little bit of part, and that'll probably get you going.
Yeah.
But also, it's that inner thing of what your soul wants as well, and the rest is hard work.
Yeah, definitely.
But how did you find the different dynamics from acting and performing on stage? Is there a similarity? Is there a common thing there, or is it totally different?
No, it's not totally different, because when you are performing a song, for example, a song that I wrote in a specific time of my life, when I was happy or sad or I'm evoking an emotion, I'm kind of like going back to that emotion, embrace that, and kind of act that emotion here, because right now I'm super happy and maybe in that song I'm depressed, and I have to go to those kind of like bag of emotions that is there.
But in that moment, are you acting?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah? I think it's I'm not sure if it's acting the word, but maybe when you're acting, you are performing a character, but you are, in my own experience, I need to feel that to make it real.
Yeah. So I go back to my own. Because as performers, musicians, when you're playing, you're feeling that thing. When you're acting, you're acting, but when you're performing.
When you're acting, you can feel it too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah. When you're acting, you can feel it too, because otherwise I feel it will look fake.
So
you need to kind of really imagine it and try to relate to some sort of emotion that will take you to a real character.
I guess that's not correct me if I'm wrong here. I feel like once you actually tap into that emotion, would you say that you forget you're acting completely?
Sometimes, sometimes.
It just becomes that moment.
And I feel like the times that I wasn't doing very good is because I was like seeing myself from outside and be very conscientious about what I was doing and not really feeling it.
Yeah.
But when you are just feeling it, even though you are acting, you still feel that that emotion.
Maybe that's the difference between a good actor and a great actor.
Mm.
Where you, as a great actor, you actually feel the emotions right there and then, and that's where you are. And I've heard that actors, like in general, when they're getting ready for a role, they actually immerse themselves in that role in their daily life too. That's what I've heard. So then it's not acting, is it? You're actually living it.
It's true, it's
a funny thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
because it's the same with music. You're living in music. When you're playing something, you're playing something and you're immersed in it. Especially on stage, sometimes you get into a thing where you forget you're in front of an audience too. You're playing something and you're transcending. you're taking something somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
That's, I think that is got to be, you even forget about what they're playing at the at that time or what is being played. You just see this person transcend into, you know, as someone watching someone on stage, you know, you see this person enjoying what they're doing and they're transcending into some sort of world, you know, unbeknownst to us, but we're watching it, you know, as a public or as, you know, as a, you know, guest or whatever.
Yeah.
But that thing, that's why I've always questioned myself, is it really acting or it's you going into this other form?
I think it's just magic.
You're spot on. It is magic. Everything that's artful is magic.
Yeah. But I think there is a point because I experienced this. I was a solo singer for a long time. I played with musicians when I was back home, but it was always my name. But when I joined One Chaco, it's a fusion band where Amla is part of too. We were playing originals, and I remember when I met Dan, that is the guitarist, for the first time, he said like, oh, play whatever you want, just be free with it. And at first, like, oh yeah, kind of like, it took me a little bit to get into the motion of it. But after a while, when we were playing live, I felt that sometimes I enter some sort of a trance that I felt that I was a channel.
Yeah.
So I will just connect. I was always focused because most of the time we were improvised live. And if you don't focus in something, you can just start saying nonsense. And it could be very dangerous to go to the nut place.
Or it could be very interesting.
Yeah, but
we're all a bit nutty.
But sometimes it's like if you don't know what you're doing, and if you cannot connect to an emotion, it can be very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So all the time it's like, okay, what is the emotion that is this music? And when I found it, and then it's like, okay, that's the key. And then it flowed. It's like a river, and sometimes it takes you to this thing that you don't even notice that people is there. It's just, I was just passing a message. It wasn't me. It was something else.
Yeah.
So that, I think it's just pure magic, and it's such a strong energy that after playing, it doesn't really matter if people were listening or not at that point.
Very, very well said. I relate to that a lot. Especially if you're using an instrument, whether it's your voice or whether it's an instrument of some sort, you're channeling it through that, you know, where you're playing, but sometimes you're not conscious of
it. Just happens. Yeah. So even I've seen you like what was the gig we did, Bergie Seltzer, there was something magical, and I remember you mostly I lost didn't your have voice. But there was something magical that happened, and I think you just relaxed a bit, because I understand when you've lost your voice and you're doing a show, it's stressful, and I don't know what happened, you just kind of went into this other realm, and then
you
we were
what
like,
happened? What happened? That a guy was very loud, and it made me angry that he wasn't, we were playing and I was trying very hard, and that guy was being loud. And we had a part, we knew the song, but there was a part open to improvise. And I connect with the anger of that emotion. It's like, hey, stop it. And then it's like, not you. Stop what you're doing in your life and listen.
That's a very good.
But it worked. It worked. The guy was like, and I'm like, la la la, and keep going with the song.
That makes sense. It just came out. That's what I mean. It came out of nowhere. I was just like, whoa.
No, it was him.
It was beautiful, jeez, though. It was he didn't really notice. Powerful. Yeah.
You see what sometimes people can do to you? But One Chaco.
One Chaco.
How long?
2014 when I joined, and you guys have been doing.
I think I joined when I moved here, like 2012 or something.
Yeah.
And what is the style of music? What is it that you guys play?
Oof. Fusion.
Yeah, it's real fusion.
It's a stupid question, I know, and it's probably not that stupid, but it is a bit of a.
Well, we've chatted about this. Sometimes it's hard to put one genre on.
Categorization of music, and we were talking about this the other day. It's so hard now. Like, I think people are opening up to all sorts of things and to their own sounds and their own, you know, personal music and personas in music, but I don't think there's genres anymore, per se. And I think all these platforms, digital platforms, I think they're struggling with genres. They've got like over 2,000 genres. And there shouldn't be any genres, I reckon.
It's all a melting pot now.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
But you see how we've been trained? In even in our art that's supposed to be super free and everything, we're trained into, like, you need to go down this. You know, this is how we've been trained throughout the start of the, let's say, the music industry. I think that's because beforehand, people would just get a drum and play, right? Now it has to go through this.
You have to pick one.
But I think it's coming back now to, it's going full circle, and it's going back to all these sounds and these things and listening to music in a different way, in for a different purpose, whether you're listening to it for, you know, exercising, going for a run, for meditating, or for
cooking.
Getting angry or cooking.
Getting angry. Cleaning music. Yeah. There's cleaning music playlists out there.
Yeah. You know, so.
But then what's cleaning music? You know, exactly. That's another topic.
Depending what do you have to clean.
Toilet music.
Well, it probably won't be elevator music when you're playing in the toilet. But see, that's where it's sometimes hard even as a band sometimes to label yourself what sort of band. You know, people ask, oh, what sort of band? Or what sort of music you play.
It's kind of, I love that though. I've noticed with Juan Choco, I just thought of it then. We've rarely gotten support acts. I think for the sheer reason that our music's not one specific genre. Thing, And we've invited a lot of guests on in previous times, but then we were at one point going, why aren't we getting invited? And then we were kind of like, what is our music? You know, what style is it?
But I think the beauty of having a support act or something like that is, I think, should be something totally different. But with the concerts that I've gone to and shows and stuff like that, it's always something along the same lines, and then
there's a theme. There's a theme there.
Yeah, normally that's what we struggle with, this theme, because we have it's a fusion of different influences, but those influences are not specific either, because Dan plays some sort of flamenco style, but it's not flamenco. I think some sort of pop, but it's not pop, and it's not Latin.
Well. It's like a whole bunch of
Why the influences. It's not actual playing of that style. The influences. So you have a bit of this. It's all in your mind, and you're putting something together. And there's beauty in that too, because it's really someone now in these days, like musicians, will play anything that's original, because from so many years and hundreds of years of listening to all sorts of music, something's in your head. So you're just recollecting something in your head that you're not conscious of, right?
Yeah.
And you're playing something that, you know, someone else has played or something else. And when you start composing and writing, you think it's yours, but the sounds that you hear and the phrases that you hear musically, you've heard somewhere else. You're just putting things there. We're assembling. We're on an assembly line. That's all it is, you know?
Yeah. So true. So true.
That's why it's important to hear lots of different music. So you have a big range of where to choose from.
I think to get something original, I think you have to go back to sound. Like an original sound, like a hitting of a certain something, or getting that sound like a certain type of wind or something like that, and playing with that. And that could be original. You know, where it stems from the sound, not from music. It goes even further into that, you know, because music comes from sound, right?
You're like, even if I kick this table, like there's going to be
music.
I don't know if it's going to be, if it's going to have a resonance on it.
Or if you see samples.
Oh, a lot of them are taken. There's a kid called Miles. I'll have to send you both a link. He's great. Like, he's this crazy kid and crazy and brilliant. And he took a sound. He asked his little sister to play something, to sing a note, and she purposely went, like something weird. And he managed to pitch it to the note he wanted and create, like, there's so many things he can do. He
has the original.
He
has a stem from sound. That's how I see it. Someone has a stem from that sound, from that, that place. And that's where, you know, things can There's no guidelines. There's no nothing. There's no safety net.
You're really
dealing with raw materials.
Yeah,
you know?
He does that quite a bit.
And that there's a beauty in that too.
Yes.
But you can't do that all the time.
No.
So as a musician, you need to compile and deconstruct and reconstruct and, you know, and listening to all these genres. And sometimes you think, I just need to not listen to music for a bit.
Yeah.
Because it becomes, you become inundated. Yeah. You know, or you listen to a certain type of music for a long time and then you think,
I know,
I've got to stop. And then you listen to that sort of music and then you've got to stop. So,
that's
the approach of a musician and of an artist is very, very important, I see, because that's what you're going to either record or you're going to perform. And we all want to be accepted on the stage.
Mm. Oh, on that note, continuing on with that topic of musical influences and having a bit of both, I guess, like coming from sound itself and from you were chatting with me the other week about, I have a question for you regarding your the way you've started writing music and where you are now musically, because you're coming back to your solo music again, correct? Mm-hmm. Like I've started to notice you've been playing around with singing like with the guitar and more stripped back. And my question is, where is your musical influence? Like, what music are you listening to now compared to what you were listening to before? Like that journey of
the present moment.
Yeah, the present moment.
The present moment. I listen a little bit of everything, to be honest. I love Fat Freddy's drop. I love it. I love that vibe. I don't know, that it's upbeat, but it's also kind of trippy. I like that. I like to play in the car classical music just to turn off my mind and let myself go. I like artists with soft voices too, like how you can create ambience. I remember when I started singing and all throughout my training, everything was about power.
Dynamics.
But it was about power, not through dynamics, through volume and control of your voice. So when I listen back to my previous albums, my first two albums, it's like, God, my voice sounds so tight and so forced.
Mm.
And now it's like, I really appreciate how to get the message and the feeling across without that. Just more, take it easy. Just let it happen naturally.
Do you think the reason for that powerful voice was back then, that's what you were influenced by, or what every singer was influenced by? Like back in the day, people started singing like Mariah Carey with.
Oh yeah, when I went to school, everyone.
Yeah, everyone. You know? You think that is the reason why?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel there I had a bit of lack of more personal influences, maybe when I was at school. Everything was about Mariah Carey and like how to sing the perfect note and have and kind of instead of staying truth to my own likes and like, oh, but I have a softer voice, maybe I'm not like that, because the teachers were like, oh, celebrating these amazing singers that could sing like that, and the rest of us were like so you kind of try to pretend and be someone that you are actually not. And I feel now that with time, with age, when you get more mature and you live a little bit more, you kind of like, and this journey for me started when I went back to New Zealand to live there for a year. And I was traveling in my van, and I just had a guitar in the beautiful landscape, and I was just hearing my own voice, not even listening much to music at that point. And I start really hearing my voice, and I like it. It was like, oh, this is how I feel. These are my feelings. So now when I try to listen to new music, I try to look for something that can evoke that. Not super powerful. Sometimes, of course, I love it, but mostly is subtleness that I enjoy now.
That's the nuances. That's quite hard to get. And there's an art form to that too. Even not only in singing, but in playing as well. Sometimes you have some pianists that will play these big classical pieces and everything. But then you have some pianists that where they'll play and they'll put something in these nuances that you think, actually that's changing that whole phrase.
Yeah.
You know, one little trill or one little, you know, thing, you know, these, that it's very important, I think, when you're trying to arrange as well and you're trying to compose and you see and you hear these things that you can use.
Yeah.
But if you're not hearing them, you're not going to use them, obviously. But that's a very good point that you get to hear your own things like subtlenesses and everything. And when you're – it's for me that often works when I'm listening to someone else.
Mm.
You know, when I hear something or when I listen to someone playing, you think, why am I not hearing that in my own playing? And then you go back and you think, okay, hang on. Mm. You're aware of it. So you're identifying that.
Yeah.
And I think when you were saying, you know, in the van playing with your guitar, I think you identified that I'm listening to my own self now.
Yeah.
And it's not bad, which is great.
Yeah.
So it's easily, sorry, you go.
No, go.
I was on that, like exactly, it's easy to get clouded, I guess, by of all the different sounds around us and trying to imitate them.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've all experienced that.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're right, I love that you said as we mature and gain more life experience in a sense, and it's easier to become influenced when we're younger and or like to kind of let someone else tell you how you should sound,
but there's nothing wrong with imitation.
No, I mean it's all we do it.
And we learn from it.
We learn from it.
But if you feel that's your thing for the rest of your life,
you're happy.
Totally fine. Right. Yeah. If you're happy, just follow it.
Makes things that make you happy.
Yeah. But if you feel like there is something, and I felt like there is something here that when I recorded it and the album's there, and then when I releasing, not at the precise moment, but afterwards, it's like there is still something that I'm missing, and I don't know what it is, and I still think I'm trying to find it. What it is the sound that I want, because now I'm thinking like I want to release an EP. Just 4 songs, because I've been releasing singles that I feel that I don't have consistency in between them, because I'm like, oh, I like to sound soft. Now I like to sound dreamy. So I was like, okay, I want to put 4 songs together and try to find myself within those songs. But I'm still not sure what I'm really looking for to. But I think when you have a few songs, you can work a little bit more in textures and like a theme maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You start putting together a story with an EP.
Yeah,
you know, the way I see it is like, you know, you with a single, it's a pathway. With an EP, it's a bit of a story.
Mm.
With an album, it's a theme. It's a movie. It's something. It's, you know, and sometimes, like we've had a chat about this in previous podcasts. Some bands have albums where every album is interconnected, and every track in the album is connected within the album, and then the last track ends and then is connected to the next album.
Mm.
So there's a beauty there as well, because you're telling a big story, you're telling a massive story, right? Yeah. Because it might last 4 albums.
Mm.
But then it's quite hard to put together an EP or an album too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of effort, whereas with singles, you can, I think you tell your mind, it's just a single, so you get it done, you know? And it's just one song. It's just one song,
I want to get it done in a month.
Exactly, you know? But there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with any of that. It's just where you are, how you feel at the time. If you feel that this is the time now to do an album, an EP, and that's fine, as long as you're creating.
I think that's very important. But I think I'm ready now for something more than just a single. I couldn't pick one song. That's why I have like a few in mind, and I want to create new songs. But in terms of sound, I remember our conversation. I was listening to Hayatis Coyote. It was hard to say that name. So beautiful how they layer sounds and harmonies, and it's like the progression you don't know that they're going there. And I love that. So sort of surprise. And I think their albums are very connected. I think when you find your sound, and it's easier to make more albums that are related that when you don't have that core, I guess. So I don't know how to explain it very well.
That makes sense too.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. I completely understand that. I'm at the point where everything now, I don't want it to sound the same at the core.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you've taken that to the next level. Yeah. Literally every single he's released is D Journey.
Yeah, that's different.
And then you did that. The progressive metal track.
Because it's along for many, many years, the core's been the same. And I just thought, it's time to change. You know, so for me, I like to explore different genres now. For me, the core is changing. Like, and to change the core and to get to that beauty and to the, you know, to the heart of that, you have to know that particular genre or that sound.
Mm.
To me, if you're going to do a genre and it sounds like another genre that you've been playing for a lot of years, I don't think you've understood it properly. So for me, the challenge is now, if I'm going to do a fusion thing, that's fine. If you're fusing things together, but if I'm going to play something originally, if it's going to be an original jazz, so it has to sound jazz, right? Mm-hmm. Or you have to know what the jazz is and from that background, so you can actually produce and record it. But in saying that, there's also beauty in fusing things and fusion, right? But for me now, changing the core that's the challenge for me. Because it's been so many years I've been playing flamenco and that's what I do and that's what the sound is. But I want, you know, there's other sorts of beauty out there. There's all these sorts of different genres and different things and
so many
that I want to explore. And you'll never get to explore all of them. The things that make you happy.
Yeah.
Those things that make you happy. But you're right, in if you're gonna do albums and stuff like that and that's your sound. You know, and I think that's there's beauty in that too, because you're still learning off your own sound too, like all your life.
Mm.
You see how you can morph this, change this.
Yeah,
what if we do this, what if we do that, put that instrument in, put this instrument in, maybe, you know, see where it takes you. But yeah, it's an interesting journey.
It's a beautiful journey. Yeah, I guess definitely. Like you were saying, you're still exploring your sound. I wonder if we ever actually find
have a definitive sound.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm noticing, look, I'm similar. Like my style was always one way, very classical. Mm. And now I'm learning jazz and like, oh, this is like, I love this. It's so much fun. And then you find that your musical style, like even that song we just did, it's not even, I don't even know what to call it. It's just so different, which is cool. Like we don't know what we're going to create until we just
That's
explore.
That's the beauty though.
Yeah. Mm.
And when you hear a song and it gives you a certain emotion, whether it gives you goosebumps or something, you know, and you know it is what it is, you know that you've reached that point.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right? And you go on to the next challenge. Mm. You do it. That's like me, but you go on to the next thing. All right, how can I bring that feeling into the next project or into the next song?
Mm.
You know, as a musician, I think that's what, or a creative, not even a musician, an artist or whoever it might be. I think they're looking for that next thing of what is going to make them have that emotional connection or make them happy. You know,
yeah.
And as musicians, we're always looking for it.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's a good problem to have.
Of course, it is. Of course it is. And you know what? It connects you with other people. It connects you with different people, different artists. You know, the music, you know, the music scene and that music world connects you in many ways with other people, whether you're collaborating, whether you're just sitting and having a coffee with a musician, you're talking about stuff.
Yeah.
It's that whole thing. And also part of this podcast is to try and get that essence and get it a bit more enriched with musicians and the music here in Melbourne. So music's a form of oxygen. So
it is definitely food.
That's right, and you breathe it in. That's right. But the next your next stage of music, you're saying you want to do EP or anything like that, is it going to be something that you want to do totally on your own, or you're going to have big collaborations in there? What is your vision?
My vision is no, I don't want to do it. Maybe I'll have one song that it's on my own, like a naked song that I'm just with the guitar, because sometimes I feel that we strive for perfection too when we're playing. And I've always felt that but I'm not a great guitarist. I don't play very well. I'm not a great pianist. But when I connect with music, sometimes I am playing the piano. I am playing the guitar, and that's how it sounds. And sometimes I think we lie a little bit when we are recording. I record previous songs like, oh yeah, you play the guitar, but we'll play it again. So to make it sound better, which is great, sound better, but it wasn't me playing, you know? So I would like to have a song where I play in my own ability. If it's not great, if it's not perfect, that's me. That's me. And that's how I want it to sound. So I would like to have a song that it's kind of like a naked song. And then I would like to have maybe three other songs when I collaborate with other musicians.
I've listened to a couple of your songs on Spotify.
Which ones?
But they're totally different.
Yeah, they are. So, I told you, they're the singles, like, oh, this time I want to do this.
But there's nothing wrong. I like that. There's nothing wrong with that. I like it. It's gone from one to another. These show your versatility as well.
Yeah.
Because one's very open and the other one's got a bit of different. You know, Maria's got a different thing to it. It's got a bit of electronic in it. It's got a bit of that thing.
Yeah.
It's totally different, like different genres. But you were saying you want to get to the core. What is the core of Ximena? What is it? Like, is that the music or is it
the emotion? I don't know what it is. I would like it to be a little bit more like the music that I like to listen.
Okay.
And I like to listen music with groove. I like groovy music, and I love dancing, of course. So I would like to have something like that. The band that I've been listening for many years now, that's Fat Spread Drop. I love it because it's so groovy, and I love the way they play with the harmonies and the horns, things like that. So I would like to explore something like that. And when I did the single launch for Maria, I had a trumpet player, and I really liked that.
That was cool. Yeah, I remember
that. So I was like, I would like to have something
brassy
like that.
Or something in there. Something.
Low register.
Something like that. And maybe if it's not drums. Yeah, maybe this time drums. But I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'm in this process. I started like 2 weeks ago. It's like, I think I want to do that.
You're in the experimental process.
Yeah. And I'm in the mental process. And now I'm trying to listen to music a little bit more consciously. Mm-hmm. So I like what... To explain, because sometimes you go to a producer and you don't really know what you want them to do, how to help you to lift up that song. So it's like, okay, what is that? What I really like to do? So I'm just going to the music that I like and taking the elements. I like this from here, I like that from there. But in general, I love harmonies and I love delay. I love the voice going like, I like some kind of trippy music.
You should listen to Amla's latest one.
I'm looking forward to
it. Don't know if it's trippy though, but
it is haunting though.
I love
rhythm,
that.
There's delays, there's big things.
Yeah, that a little bit that you lose vocals. Yourself in the in the music. Yeah. I like
That's what. Yeah, that's what happens in your one.
Yeah, I guess.
I will have a listen to that. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I'm trying and looking forward to achieve. I'm not sure if I will. Do it that way, because sometimes you start with one plan and then it kind of like takes you some other way,
but it might be even better than what you expect.
You never know. I'm going to let it flow as always, but this time I just want to focus in more than one song.
That's really exciting.
I'm excited.
It's it's exciting and it's nerve-wracking sometimes. from a perspective where it's you've got your composition, then you start arranging and you think something's, or you need something extra, something's not working, and that can take a long time sometimes. Yeah. It took me 2 years to do an album for my own album, and it was just you hitting a brick wall, and whether it's this and whether it's that. Have you been in that sort of situation where you've had that mental block when you're creating something and you've, you know, you don't know where to go? How have you managed to overcome that? And have you overcome that?
I haven't. I have many songs that I haven't. I sort of finished them, but when I play them, it's like there's still something here that it's not quite right.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe more than 20 songs. I feel like I could have record an album way before than now.
Mm.
But it's like, I still feel that I don't have like, I don't know, 10 songs that I am like, these are the one.
Mm.
So I haven't overcome that. And that's why sometimes I feel like the lack of musical training, it's heavy on me because I didn't finish my music school. My music.
It's got nothing training. To do with it. The training.
Sometimes I feel it does because I know lots of theory, but I feel like I have legs, and sometimes I have gaps in between these legs. Like how I do connect this with this? How can I just make this transition? How can I just change from here to, you know? And I feel that if I had a little bit more of a stronger music theory knowledge, it will assist me with that.
I don't agree with it.
No?
No.
You think it's a mental thing?
No. I think it's, if you want to do that, that's more in the arrangement. You have to go down that path. Because even if you have musical theory, you got people who are arrangers and composers, and you got people who are just session musicians and instrumentalists or whatever. If you want to go down that path, that means it's arrangements. Arrangements don't necessarily always have to be written out. It's what you think, and if you, it's all about experience. So how much experience have you had? And you listen to a lot of music, right? And there's no formulas as such. It's more, putting it on paper. That educational type of system will help you put it that, but it's what's up here is what you're gonna put on paper. It doesn't mean that if I'm gonna put it here and work it out like that, it's gonna sound good. It's all about up here and here. My forte is arranging, right? So, I'm educated and everything like that, but I don't use any of that.
No.
You
think you don't.
No, I don't. I just do what I think is right. Ask Amla.
Look, I'm conflicted by this. This is very interesting. Yeah. Like two completely different views, and I actually don't know. Like, I can see both sides definitely.
Yeah.
But then part of me is like, would you unconsciously be using theory?
Probably.
But then part of me is like, if you already have the idea in your head, is there a way you could still somehow put it out there without? So
I think you can. It's all about the experience and the training. We're all able to be artists. We're all able to do everything. It's just you have to set your mind to it a little bit. And all it is just sometimes playing around with parts. Like you were saying, you've got some songs that they're not quite there. Start rearranging them. So I'm putting this part there, part there, start putting all these things around. Then you'll find that, okay, this is not sounding like that. Say, oh, okay, maybe this is sounding like that. And even visualize it.
Yeah.
That's arranging. So that's what helps me, sometimes things come into your head and you think, oh, maybe this part. And you play guitar, so that's a bonus, right? And you can actually play and you think, oh, but I'm not thinking theoretically.
I'm going now to do that. I'm going to use it straight away.
But
that's good advice, actually, to change around the move bits to different spots.
Put things in reverse.
Yeah. Yeah, I might try that.
Put things in reverse.
What's a blah loop?
Play the melody in reverse.
Yeah.
Just got to think a bit outside the box.
True.
Arranging used to be, I think arranging, there's that thing of, an arranger person, sits behind this piano and writes. everything is going out in a different direction now. Mm-hmm. Everyone is capable of doing things. I think it's what being a producer is. I'm talking from a producer's point of view. You have to listen to what the artist as well wants. Mm. And if you yourself is the artist, what do I want? Mm. What sort of sound, like you were saying before, you want that sound, that's a bit of brass. Bit. Okay, so when you're arranging, picture a bit of brass sounds, you know, if you can't play them, just picture them here, bang, 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 and think, give it a crack. You're actually arranging without you knowing. But yeah, I think food for thought, but
yeah,
I think and a lot of people say, oh, I wish I knew theory, and like, some musician colleagues of mine, they're not educated at that. They go, oh, they go, I should have completed music school and sort of done this and sort of done that. But they're playing. Who says that you need to, you know? I personally believe that the education system and within music needs a lot of work. I think it's broken.
Oh, you don't get me. That's another topic.
But that's where these people stem from. The STEM.
The musical STEM.
Yeah, right. No. The STEM.
The STEM, yeah. STEM,
they call the STEM system.
Yeah.
The normal education. Yeah. It's like music's from the soul at the fundamental level.
Yeah.
If you want to build it and you want to start putting it into something, well, yes, it's good to know the theory, and it's good to know, you know, your chord progressions and this and that, and putting everything together, and you know transcribing things like you do. You're a gun.
Oh, look, I'm still like, that's still something I've started recently, so
yeah. But you've taken it on. She transcribed the flute solo from Spain, from Chicorea. It's like amazing. It's like,
that's great.
You know, there's a knack for that. Use what you're
experiment. Look, that's experimenting as well. Yeah, exactly. Like, challenge. Well, it sounds like you're doing it anyway. Like, I'm just challenging yourself. And like you said, I'm going to take your advice too, because I haven't done that with my arrangements. Yeah. I'm just like, this is the way it is. And even with the song we did, like Valentino, really fruity arrangement around, and I'm like, wow, it wasn't where I was thinking it was going to go, but it's completely different now.
Yeah, and sometimes melodies come into your head when you're arranging.
Yeah, that is so true. Yeah.
You know? So when you're experimenting, when you're arranging, there's no right or wrong way of doing it. You know, when you hear that the product, and you hear the thing, and you think, this is it. Like you were saying, this is it. This is the song, or these are the songs you know, that I want to do. So. You can visualize it.
I'll do that. I'm going to write it down and then break it down and rearrange and just try different things.
Yes. Yeah. Or even just play it with the guitar and sing it, sing the melodies in a different way, or in reverse, or take that out, put that there, see.
I do remember when I recorded my first two albums, I couldn't play guitar at all. I just sang. A little bit of piano, but I wasn't very good at school. And when I learned how to play guitar, I think it changed completely my ability. Because one thing is to sing, and like you said, like you can sing it, but how do you put it on paper? How do you build from them? And unless you're Michael Jackson, that he could sing everything without playing anything. But I feel that after I learned an instrument,
it helps.
It helps. Kind of like put order in something, or just some sort of a structure. Otherwise, it was just like.
But that's why also some of the biggest artists in the world actually play an instrument. Or if they don't, they learn to play an instrument.
Yeah.
Because composition and arranging, like even with me, sometimes arranging on the guitar and playing it, it's not the same. I jump on the keyboard or the piano, and it's a different thing. Voicing's different, this, different, that, and you think, it's just opened it up.
Yeah.
And then you lay it on that and you think, oh, okay, maybe this works, that works, because it all depends on what you want to produce and what you like.
Maybe I should start playing both instruments for the songs, because I usually stick to one. So this guitar, but what if I play it on the piano? What are the sounds?
The piano has got a big broad, if you bass clef. And the triple, if you've got two hands that with the guitar, you got six strings or seven or eight maybe, but that's what you're a bit limited. But that's why all these big singers, and they've got pianos, or they got, you know, it's easier to get that range of of those sounds.
Yeah.
You know? Not that it can't be done on any instrument, but there are limitations. Yeah, but yeah, I think anyone's possible. Anyone can do anything. Just you have to love what you're doing.
Yes.
At the end of the day.
We all love
music. Yes, that's why we're all here. That's why we're all here. You got any projects coming up? Any gigs, any shows, projects or anything?
I have a solo show with Abla. When is it again? On the
31st? Oh, 31st
of March.
31st of March. So whereabouts?
I'm going to
Bergie Seltzer. Yeah.
I'm going to get Bergie's.
Yeah, when are you playing there?
On the 10th of March. But I'm playing at the front, doing a solo.
Yeah. And are we playing at
the front? Yeah, we're playing at the front. Yeah.
So that's, we have a few gigs with Huanchaco coming up. We have a recording the next two Fridays. We're going to put together something, some sort of a live performance, which will be great. And then we have a few shows and Wesleyan, Ragtime.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And Somebody Local. And then, yeah, the solo show with Amla, I'm going to be supporting her. Are you releasing a song that day?
Or no, just a show.
Just for fun.
I wouldn't even say supporting. We're kind of like Bergie kind of do two acts.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. Yeah. Maybe what we can do is we can do a live session with that one because they have such a nice sound.
That's true.
Do a broadcast. And how do you say it? Yeah.
Stream it.
We could stream it. It could be fun.
Good idea.
If I record the live from the desk. Probably get the feed from the desk.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Because they have such a good sound.
The sound is pretty good there, yeah.
And then if we just have a camera, that's an idea.
All about content, right? That's another another.
So many other topics.
Another world. Yeah.
I think it's a very important one.
I know, but it's...
We forget. I always forget to record myself. And then I'm like, oh, no. And then I forget to say who I am.
Yeah.
That's why I get my wife to come to my gigs.
Yeah, your wife is great for that.
That's good.
You can't think of everything when you're playing.
Yeah.
Last
week when I went to the cinema to do that, Dan came with my daughter. My daughter was jumping in the seat, so he couldn't record the thing. And then I tried to send it to my family back in Chile. It's like, that's 10 seconds of a performance. What are we supposed to do? It's like, oh, sorry, we couldn't record anything. But if you have family or people that follow you overseas, it's even harder.
Yeah, it's so true.
There are a lot of clips that I'm watching now where the musicians just have their stand on stage and they just
put it there.
But they don't get the sound at the front. But whatever you can do, I think as long as you have good content, I think that's about it. Before we finish up, our sponsor's Cake Eclipse with these beautiful,
yummy.
I think it's a blueberry cake and something along the lines of that. And Music Pro Services, if you need producing, teaching, whatever you need.
Arranging.
Yes.
Kimena, thank you so much
for coming along.
It's been a pleasure. Really good insight.
Yeah.
What happens in the life of a musician and an actor as well.
Didn't even mention dancer, but that's
as well. Look, being from Chile, I think that comes in as well. I think that's there.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so. Yeah. And most importantly, nowadays, a mom.
Oh yes,
that's throughout everything else. It's just like.
It's a different face.
Different. It's
beautiful.
It really affects music. Everything.
Jimena, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Till next time. Ciao.
Bye.
The Strike Accord podcast, presented to you by ValentinaFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.